Hey there. You're listening to What the Riff? Join us as we remember the great rock and roll hits from the month between 1965 and 1995. We're going to riff on all things about the bands, the members, and the goings-on during that time. We hope to inspire you to find and download the songs you hear today, whether you're fans who forgot about some of these tracks or maybe never heard them before. Check out our blog at whattheriff.com and follow us on Facebook at What the Riff. Here's a shout out to our sponsors, Georgia Lighting, Fixtures, Fans and Furnishings, and Lucky & Company, a data-driven creative agency that builds brands to get results luck can't explain. So let's turn up the volume and get into this episode of What the Riff?
Jury selection begins in the trial of LA police officers charged with beating Rodney King. 12 countries create the European Union, and the 14th Winter Olympics opens in Albertville, France. This is February 1992, and you're listening to What the Riff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
I'm John.
And I'm Bruce.
And Rob brings us this classic album. What you got, Rob?
All right, guys. Born in Marston Green on the 3rd of December, 1948, John Michael Ozzy Osbourne.
That's my name, except for the Ozzy Osbourne part.
He was nicknamed Ozzy as a child.
Oh, so this is not a stage name.
It was his name as a kid. And I thought this was interesting. You know, a lot of geniuses have some type of disability, right? Mm-hmm. Like Thomas Edison had a hearing impediment. Stephen Hawking, ALS. Nikolai Tesla had OCD. For Ozzy, it was dyslexia. He was dyslexic, or is dyslexic, I guess.
Yeah.
And so he was bullied a lot as a kid. But, man, he is a genius when it comes to music and lyrics, don't you think?
Absolutely. The guy's been doing it for, what, 6 decades?
Yeah. Do you know when he founded Black Sabbath?
It's got to be 60s, right?
Yeah. 1968.
Jeez. Wow. And I love this song. This is a neat song.
This song is the only solo song that he did that reached the Billboard Hot 100.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it made it to number 28. Now, it was number 2 on the rock charts, but it made it into the, you know, Hot 100. He only had one other top 40 hit.
Is that Crazy Train?
Nope. It was a duet.
Oh. If I Close My Eyes.
Yes.
Oh,
if I Close My Eyes Forever. You remember
Lita,
who that was
Lita
with?
Ford.
Lita Ford. That's right. That's right. This track was on the charts in February of 1992, and it is Mama, I'm Coming Home.
I'm a little surprised that Bark at the Moon didn't make it on there, because I distinctly remember Ozzy lip-syncing Bark at the Moon on Solid Gold.
Really?
Yeah. I can't believe Crazy Train didn't make it, man.
Yeah,
I'm a little shocked
to the top 40.
Yeah, if nothing else, from just the Braves lineup.
Yeah, yeah, you got to play it at the Braves
Chipper
game.
Jones walking to the mound.
That's right.
Walking to the plate, ready to hit a ball.
His first solo album, he got kicked out of Black Sabbath because of drugs and alcohol.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. I think, you covered one of the albums.
Yeah, I covered Blizzard of Oz.
Yeah.
He started solo, and his first album was Blizzard of Oz, and this is the album No More Tears, and this was his 6th album. Dude did 7 more after this.
Really? Wow. I didn't know that.
I mean, I think he had one that came out in 2022 or something like that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the guy's just prolific, right? I like this.
Now, was this sort of like a homecoming reunion, or was this like his mom had passed away and he's I'm end of death type thing? Or
I think he's just talking about how he's changed and he's kind of returning to his roots a little bit.
Okay. Well, at this time, he was at the height of his powers, if you want to say, because wasn't MTV the whole thing of him being on TV
and
stuff.
His videos, his feel was good. I want you to listen to the beginning of this song here. This is called Desire, okay?
Sounds like Metallica.
All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing.
Foo Fighters.
What year?
1996?
2002.
2000, was it really that late?
10 years after this.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
This is like pure Headbangers Ball right here, man.
Yeah.
So Zakk Wylde is the guitarist. He was 19 at this time.
Oh, really?
You're kidding.
No.
Zakk was 19?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Playing that guitar. Okay. Here we go. So now this is...
Yeah.
This album is almost brought to you by Zakk Wylde. I mean, honestly, these riffs are just sick.
Isn't it? He's an amazing guitarist. So I read an article from the Jasta show, and they asked him if the Foo Fighters' All My Life was based on this, and he said, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they heard it, and they were like, dude, that riff. I mean, Dave's song is completely different as far as the melody goes and everything he does with it. He says, I think everybody gets inspired by everything, whether you're the Stones or the Beatles.
Oh,
Zeppelin.
Yeah. Yeah, you can only have so many different notes to be played in whatever. I mean, eventually it all kind of devolves into whatever the lyrics are.
Well, and I mean, from a chord progression standpoint, the number of songs that do that 1-4-5 chord is almost infinite. Everybody uses it.
But even just this, I mean, it's just the timing. But he says he loves Dave Grohl. He says, we're buddies. I'm glad he's using it.
So. I'm sure he and Dave get along great.
Yeah.
Well, who doesn't get along with Dave Grohl?
Yeah. That's a good point.
You know, I forgot how good this dang song is, man.
It is. It's
this
good.
Whole album is actually freaking amazing.
It's cranking, buddy, isn't it?
It makes me crazy. Listen here. Okay.
That's solid.
Here you go.
I love it. Listen, man. You can't buck a good classic comeback, right?
I know.
And later in 92, Ozzy Osbourne sued himself for the use of Crazy
you
Train.
You son of a gun. How dare you?
Yeah. I really enjoyed listening to this album. And then it was like, okay, what songs do I want to pick up from here? And I just heard this one. I'm like, oh, man, this is rocking.
They have the sirens like war pigs.
Yeah.
So he's bringing everything back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, also you got Lemmy working on this album.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes. Lemmy like co-wrote a ton of these songs.
Really?
Lemmy,
I did not know that.
Lemmy Kilmister,
yeah.
Kilmister. Yeah, so you've got Ozzy on vocals, Zakk Wylde guitar, Bob Daisley on bass, Randy Castillo on drums, and then Lemmy Kilmister did the lyrics, and Tom Fletcher was the producer.
So this is Foo Fighters, Motorhead backing Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. I mean, again, the guy was a genius. I mean, is a genius.
So let's bring it back. So this is the time period where Motley Crue is like partying like crazy, right? They just finished like one of their major tours.
Well, they had Home Sweet Home was their big song that was really on the charts at this time. And we'll talk about it. But Vince Neil actually left the group to become a race car driver in this month of February 1992.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man. Motley Crue basically was training under Ozzy Osbourne on how to tour and how to party.
Yeah.
And, like, they tell these stories. That was where the story of Ozzy snorting the ants.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard of that story, right? Where he takes a straw out, he sees a line of ants walking across the concrete near a pool, and he just snorts the whole line, and the whole Motley Crue people just stare at him like, what the hell just happened? Now, who knows if it's true, because none of us were there.
Hey, I'm surprised he's still alive anyway. I mean, but the drugs.
That man's constitution is amazing. I mean, look, here is a guy that was thrown out of Black Sabbath for partying too much.
Imagine that.
Everybody must have just thought he was out of his mind and crazy, crazy train for sure. On
this
the crazy
is almost
train.
The last album of the heavy metal era. Well, I mean, think about it.
That's a good point, Wayne, because we are in a point, kind of inside baseball. This is a difficult time for us from a rock standpoint.
Yeah, you had a lot of grunge was kind of coming in, and there was a question
Smells
about
Like
it.
Teen Spirit was on the charts at this time.
So I want you to listen to the beginning of this song. What does this sound like? I thought...
Knock, knock, knock on heaven's door.
Yes, but not Bob Dylan. Guns N' Roses.
Yes.
This is Road to Nowhere. And Axl Rose could come out and start singing right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Sort of has a Sister Christian sound, too.
Also, that could be Slash playing this right here.
Yeah. Again, Zakk Wylde, guitar, amazing.
You know how polished this is, too?
Yeah.
It's very produced. Yeah. I was looking back on my life. All the things I've done to me, listen. And all the things I've done to me. Goes back to the crazy stuff, doesn't it?
At least he isn't blaming somebody else.
All the things I've done to me.
It is so hard to figure out Ozzy Osbourne. What is it about him? Because I mean, his voice is distinctive, but it's not like he's got this huge range or something.
Oh, right.
You know? It's just Ozzy. I don't know how to describe it.
He was self-deprecating, and people like that. And in his TV show, the Osbournes, on even when he's interviewing, and then he had a travel show with his son, and he literally was like, you know, he's every man. He came from that hardscrabble from Birmingham, England, and that is gritty, I think is the word I would have for it.
Gritty, but like you said, authentic, maybe. But like you said, I think self-deprecating, I never thought about that. But hats off to him to be able to laugh at himself.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think one of the things I've always found distinct about Ozzy is the difference between his talking voice and his singing. It's you can barely understand what he's saying when he's just talking to you, and then as soon as a lyric is put in front of him, the dude sounds amazing.
I think it has to do with his dyslexia. And I think he kind of mumbles as a kid, or you know, mumbled a lot.
And it's exact opposite with Bob Dylan.
I can't wait for Rob to cover a Bob Dylan album.
I think that's on the schedule.
Ain't going to happen. Not me covering it.
I'll say this, too, and Rob, I imagine you would agree. You can't talk about Ozzy Osbourne's success without bringing Sharon Osbourne into the picture.
Yeah.
I really wasn't going to talk a whole lot about it, but you're right. I mean, she came in and changed his life, basically. She probably saved his life.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you start having kids. When they started having kids in the mid-80s and stuff, that sort of realigned his thought process. Because, I mean, we didn't even get involved in this podcast about how crazy the tours were, you know, especially in the 80s. You know, I mean, people dying on, you know, airplanes.
Right.
You know, I mean, they were nuts. And... yeah, realignment was probably a good thing of that.
This was actually released, just so you know, the year before 1992.
Okay.
Actually, it was actually released before the album. Album came out in 91. This song, the song My Mom Coming Home, was on the charts in February of 92. In 1990, the movie Days of Thunder was out, and this song was on that movie track.
Oh, okay. This song?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, if you don't remember, NASCAR was just starting to really explode, and this was Paul Newman in that?
Tom. That's Tom Cruise.
Okay, yeah, I'm thinking of a different one, but yeah, Tom Cruise being a race car driver.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
it's actually a great movie.
Yeah.
And this makes sense, Road to Nowhere. By the way, there's another Road to Nowhere out there. Do you know who sang that?
Yes, that would be Talking Heads.
That's right, Bruce. The Talking Heads did Road to Nowhere. It's not a cover, though.
It is not, no.
We talked about, grunge was really the big thing. And I think when this album came out, it was like Ozzy's still... He's still doing the metal thing, and he's doing it right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at, though, at this time, they were still touring, and they toured with Black Sabbath, but Black Sabbath had gone through so many different lead singers. I mean, they had Ronnie James Dio. They had Ian Gillan from Deep Purple, and then Glenn Hughes from Deep Purple came in.
Oh. And they changed drums and everything else.
Yeah.
Okay, you gotta listen to the opening on this. And, of course, what do I like?
You like the keyboards there.
The air keyboard, the air sound on there. This is a dark song.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Ozzy Osbourne singing a dark song?
But it's so well done. It's so well done.
If you listen closely, you can hear him bite the head off a bat.
Yes.
And very few people know, if you play Ozzy Osbourne songs backwards, it says, go to church. Spend more time with your family. He's like, I'm going to one-up them.
Oh, this is just great. Just the way he just comes in here. Listen to that guitar.
That's heavy, man. Zach Wilde.
There are people that say that Black Sabbath really kind of invented heavy metal.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah. They were the first heavy metal band.
So
there was other groups that had songs similar to heavy metal at the time, but yeah.
I heard that it was almost like they came up with the sound by accident because their guitarist, Tony Iommi, his amplifier broke and it started doing a darker, distorted sound. And they were like, hey, that sounds pretty cool.
Oh, interesting.
So they started doing it intentionally.
He's like, I don't know why it's doing that.
Also, he cut his tips of his fingers off, and he had different nubs for his fingers. And so it gave also a different resonance on the guitar.
Wow. There's got to be an easier way to make that sound than cut off your fingers, though.
Well, Mike Inez is doing that freaking bass line, man.
Yes. Listen to that.
Oh, wow. I like that, Chris. You topped a mountain, then you're sort of going down. So what's dark about this song?
The words.
Okay.
Have you not...
I have no more tears. I mean, is this someone who died or whatever? Or?
Another day passes as the night closes in. The red light goes on. It's
okay.
I think it's about a female that's been taken off the streets, that's enslaved.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
District stuff.
Sex trafficking, because it's very evil. Like, this man, you know, the man that you don't see, he comes out when this light comes on, and then things happen, and there's no more tears. You can't cry anymore. You're done crying about it.
That is a thing a lot of people kind of try to ignore, and it's out there, but you know, for us in the suburbs and the rural areas, pretty much, you know, shield their eyes from is sex trafficking.
Well, you know, in the 70s, 80s, the 90s, I honestly wouldn't have gone to see Ozzy if I had free tickets. I just wouldn't. I knew it was bad news. I just Black Sabbath.
Oh, not, I did.
Know, not very Christian. The Prince of Darkness. I mean, he embraced that. He's like, that's who I am. He wore these robes. He had all these weird ways of doing stuff.
But that was just showmanship.
But they were wearing crosses and stuff. It was weird how they had their, I guess, yin and yang going on.
I appreciate it a lot more now.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't realize, like, this was not popular at the time. Like, I was listening to this, but I was like, people who listened to it when it came out, We were the exception, not the rule.
Yeah. Well, that's why this why he didn't have many top 40 songs. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I have an appreciation for the man in terms of his smarts, his genius, his self-deprecating kind of personality. But at the time, I didn't want to have anything to do with him.
Well, he's a rock star, but he's an approachable rock star. He's not somebody you're going to kind of put up on a pedal. It's like, hey, you know, let's have a drink or let's, you know, and you could...
Let's snort some ants together.
Yeah.
Listen to it starting up again here. There's your guitar solo.
This song is designed as an epic, isn't it?
Yeah. This is his Stairway to Heaven, Freebird.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who his big influence is?
Johnny Cash, maybe?
Elvis, probably.
Please tell me it's Pat Boone. That would be great.
Pat Boone.
According to his autobiography, I Am Ozzy, published in 2009, when Ozzy first heard the Beatles song, She Loves You, it changed his life. He says, I knew I was not going to make it as a carpenter. I knew I was not going to make it as a plumber. I knew I was not going to make it as a tradesman of any kind. So I went, I want to be a Beatle.
I like it. And then he started snorting them.
I'd like to move on and make the most of the night.
This is so dark now that you think through that context.
I'm
right?
Sorry.
Your lips are so cold, I don't know what else to say. She's gone. It's a dark song, so if you listen to it for the music, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The lyrics, though, like I said, they're pretty heavy.
So
they're
in this,
dark.
The guy basically kills the girl.
Or just has her drugged up so much she doesn't know what, you know, she just does what you're told to do.
I mean, at the end, that's what he says. I'm gonna leave here, make the most of the night. Your lips are cold. You're dead. No more tears. It does put a different perspective. Didn't want to put a damper on it, but the whole thing is, to me, I hope he is coming from a better place now. This seems to be a good guy right now.
Let me put it this way. He's at least drawing attention to a dark underbelly in this world.
And I wonder if he would say that now. I hope he would.
He might, but you wouldn't understand what he's saying.
I wouldn't have thought he would have been that deep of having a song about this. I mean, in truth.
All right, well, now we're going to go on to our entertainment track brought to us by Georgia Lighting, and this is from a Saturday Night Live skit. You'll recognize it here.
Okay, we're just about out of time, right? But it's always been my fantasy to play with you guys. And I always
Michael Myers.
If you wouldn't mind
and Dana
singing
Carvey.
The Wayne's World theme with me.
Wayne's World theme?
Yeah. Let's go do it. All right.
This is a skit with Aerosmith.
Okay, let's do it. All right.
Check. One. Sibilance. Sibilance. Check.
Aerosmith is on Saturday Night Live. And Wayne's World was the TV show that turned into a movie in February 1992. And we got, what? Oh, yeah. I mean, I loved the heck out of it. I enjoyed that movie. To me, that's the one, if you saw Bohemian Rhapsody, that's where they're banging her head to it in the car.
Yeah.
So, also... In the movies at February of 1992, Falling from Grace was a drama film with John Mellencamp, and it flopped. Had some songs on it, but Memories of an Invisible Man was a comedy drama, was directed by John Carpenter. Which
that
I would,
was actually not a bad movie.
Really, it flopped. It had Chevy Chase and Daryl Hannah in it. And then you had the comedy Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Oh, yeah.
With Sylvester Stallone. And his mom was Estelle Getty. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Steven Tyler, you got to check it out. Look it up on YouTube or something. Wayne's World, Aerosmith. All right, now let's go back. We'll get going with our staff picks here. And leading it off is Wayne. Speaking of Wayne's World.
There you go, buddy. And this is what I love about this podcast. There are many top rock songs that came out in early 1992 that I could have covered. But when I was looking at songs that were released, I found this one. I don't remember it at the time. And, I mean, but Life is Good, I'm hearing it now. This is Webb Wilder, and the song is Tough It Out.
I'm trying to see if I know it.
It peaked at number 16 on the rock charts.
I wonder what's that.
It's got a little rockabilly sound.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go, Bruce. Yeah.
It has. It's just kind of southern rocking, a lot of mojo, that kind of a twang to it too.
What's the effect? It sounds like he's on a megaphone.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. I mean, people were experimenting with that and everything. I mean, he played warm up for the Georgia Sidelights and Jason and the Scorchers, which would figure.
Yeah, I can see that.
I would have thought it was Jason and the Scorchers. Yeah. That's who I would have guessed.
It's a song about a guy who he's not going to compromise. I mean, his principles are his principles. The song's about perseverance and determination. I won't bend. I won't bow. I won't break. I'll tough it out. You know, I mean, to me, it's a source of inspiration. You know, you're motivated. Encourage you to fight for your dreams.
It sounds like a great road song.
Yeah.
If you're driving.
Oh.
Yeah, this will get you a ticket, won't it?
I was trying to think of who else was doing this type of song where they'd use that kind of distant, echoey megaphone song. And I know who was doing it at the time. It was Butthole Surfers. You guys ever listen to them?
Yeah.
Okay, they used to do this all the time on their songs.
R.E.M. did it also.
R.E.M. did a few of those songs, too.
I think of Going to California or something like that.
Yeah, there's another song that I have. I thought about R.E.M. There's another one in my... I cannot think of the name of the band, but I think it was kind of a thing going on. So it sounds familiar to me, but I don't remember the song specifically.
Well, this is some of it's straight ahead rock and roll, but other people call it psychedelic rockabilly blues. So, I mean, it's very high energy.
Wait. Psychedelic rockabilly blues. That's complicated. Can we throw a little soul and funk in there, too?
That's moonshine and mushrooms.
Well, Webb Wilder was born John Webb McMurray in Mississippi. So, it's close enough to New Orleans to kind of have that New Orleans rock feel.
Little
that
swamp
was going
rock,
on that
yeah,
time.
I can
yeah,
see
swamp
that.
Rock, yeah. I thought it was interesting. He is an afternoon DJ in Murfreesboro, Tennessee at WMOT. So I had looked it up. He's currently doing this TV show in the afternoon. Radio show, yeah. So, you know, I mean, put out 10 albums, a live album and a compilation album. It's fun. He has an instrumental song that's very surf guitarist called Horror Hayride. He's coming to Eddie's Attic next month if you guys are interested in going.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks for that, Wayne. That's a good sound there. And like you said, one I hadn't heard before. Boom. All right, now we're going to go on to Mr. Lynch. What do you have, Lynch? I would name that song in one note.
have you figured it out yet?
I love this song.
This is obviously Pearl Jam from their 10 album. This is Alive. I don't want to step on it too much.
I know. You want to hear that voice come in.
So this is a song that was originally written for Mother Love Bone. The song track was, not the lyrics.
Oh,
yeah. It was. So Pearl Jam is kind of made up of a bunch of people who came from other bands. At this point, you've got Eddie Vedder singing vocals right here, obviously. You've got Stone Gossard playing guitar. You've got Mike McCready on lead guitar, Jeff Ament on bass guitar. And this is Dave Crewson's only album where he was playing drums for Pearl Jam. He leaves shortly after this album came out. But this song was about, well, Eddie Vedder wrote the lyrics for this song to be about a boy who finds out that his father is not actually his biological father. It's his stepfather. And he's talking to his mom. He's talking to his stepdad. And they're telling him this. And he feels this sense of loss, right? So when Eddie wrote this, the I'm Still Alive, he wrote as a curse. Because he thought, he felt the way he felt about it. Because this is something he felt in his real life, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That he felt cursed that he was growing up living without the guy who gave him life, right? He's like, I wish I could have met that guy. I wish I knew that guy. And I feel cursed. But when Eddie performed it live, the people were cheering and jumping around screaming, I'm still alive. And he saw them sing it that way, and the song changed in his mind. He was like, wow, actually, I think the line I'm still alive is a celebration of being alive despite not having met his dad.
Yeah, that's kind of how I thought about it.
Yeah.
All right, secret time. This is my life story. My mom was married to someone, and she got a divorce. And when she got divorced, she found out she was pregnant. And then I was adopted or whatever by what would end up being my stepfather. So, yes, that happened. And really, it was an abusive, alcoholic person who was my stepfather. And I mean, I went through life going, what the heck's wrong with me? Because I was always being picked on and stuff. And then when I found out by going through my mom's personal stuff that was in a file and saw she got divorced, I could do math. You're divorced in April, got remarried in July, and I'm born in December. I'm going, okay, that means I was conceived in March. I'm going, okay, I have a stepfather out there. He passed away about 4 years ago, and I never met him. I was the only child, so I had to actually go out to California.
I remember that.
To go through the whole thing. Yeah, I pretty much, this is, you guys know about it, but I obviously our fans don't. But yeah, I went through life not knowing who in the heck my biological father was.
So does this song connect for you?
Yeah, it connects a little bit. But, you know, it happens out there. But yeah, I'm alive. I moved on. I am fine. I've gone through my battles in life, and I'm going to keep on moving on. I'm alive, yes.
Well, and I think that's a good example of what Lynch was talking about earlier, that, you know, the songs... the artist may have one intent, but the song takes on a life of its own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love this.
And it may be
solo.
A very different thing. This was during Eddie's early days. I mean, he was so young singing this. He would do things like he would dive onto the crowd. They would extend the solos.
Oh, yeah.
And he would dive in the crowd.
Oh, he's running all over the place right now.
In one concert, if you go watch Even Flow, the live version of Even Flow in the concert, he climbs into the rafters of the freaking building.
Yeah.
Like, just straight shimmies up a steel beam and, like, is going across it like a monkey with his hands. Like, he's, like, 25 feet in the air.
Oh, my God.
And, like, they're just playing the solo, waiting for him to get back down.
I first heard this song on a Coca-Cola cassette. They were giving out cassettes, or you had to whatever apply for them or whatever, and this song was on there. So that's the first time I heard of Pearl Jam. But I had the last ticket to the Fox on this tour at Fox Theater, and I was upper last row, last seat and everything, but I only had one ticket, so it was just me.
You didn't call me. What happened?
I only had one ticket.
Well, that was a great example of the grunge that was out there that Ozzy had to compete with.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, but he proved metal is still alive. So grunge and metal, I mean, it was all about that.
That's right. Here we go. Some more metal. Let's rock.
Yes.
Oh, guys.
Oh,
You have no idea how much trouble I got in when I put this staff pick on.
I'm yawning now.
I'm looking for a good staff pick. What is going to be complimentary to Ozzy Osbourne? And of course, the answer.
The obvious answer.
Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt. Yes.
Turn down the lights. Turn down the bed.
Don't actually turn down the lights. My God, we'll fall asleep. What is going on?
I'm out.
All right. This is off of Bonnie Raitt's 11th studio album,
wow.
Luck of the Draw. And there were two reasons that I picked this.
First reason is it kept Wayne out.
No.
That's the best reason, honestly.
Ticking Wayne off is just a bonus, okay? That was just a bonus. Yeah, and Rob is really kind of upset about it.
You're crashing my Ozzy vibe.
That's right. I'm harshing your mellow. So here's the thing. Bonnie Raitt had been kicking around in the rock world for a long time.
Oh, yeah, she was backup singers on a lot of albums back in the day, especially Southern rock albums.
She was adored by the critics. She was adored by the musicians. I mean, she ran around with Stevie Ray Vaughan and a lot of other people. But she had never been able to crack through until the album just before this one. And that's where Bonnie Raitt really came into her own.
I can't believe she had 11.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
I thought this was her debut album. I didn't even know she had one right
this
before.
This was the second. Yeah, her first one was Nick of Time, right? And that's what really put her on the charts. And then this album was just tremendous.
I had this album.
Yeah, really?
It's a great album.
It is.
And this song, it's not exactly... Okay. It's not rock at all. All right.
Not rock at all. I used to sit on the back deck and drink a cold beer at the end of a Saturday with Cindy.
We're on jazz flavors right now.
Well, but it was a great album.
Here's the other reason that I picked this one. Listen to that piano work. Who is that?
Bruce Hornsby?
Bruce Hornsby.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
It sounds like Bruce Hornsby.
It does, doesn't it? Bruce Hornsby is doing this. So Mike Reed and Alan Shamblin are two singer-songwriters out of Nashville, and they wrote this song. It was they were active in the country music scene, but they wrote it for Raitt, and the first version was kind of faster than this, but then when they slowed it down and they realized how poignant it made it, you know?
Yeah. She's got a great voice for it, too.
She does, and the lyrics are just tremendous. Do you know what the inspiration was for this song?
She was stuck in an elevator for 6 hours?
Pushing her grocery cart down the aisles of Kroger.
She's like, my God, I've got the perfect song for this.
Oh, you guys. So the idea for this song was actually a news article about a man getting drunk and shooting at his girlfriend's car.
Yeah, this feels like that.
Now, let me... We in the United States, you know, we've got a lot of folks that are overseas, and they may be saying, getting drunk and shooting at your girlfriend's car, that's not something...
I call it Thursday.
We don't always do that, folks. I just want you to know, it doesn't always happen that way.
Only on Thursdays.
Just Thursdays. But the judge asked him if he had learned anything. And he said, and I know he said it with a southern drawl. He said, I learned, Your Honor, that you can't make a woman love you if she don't.
Especially by shooting at her car. This guy's a genius.
All right, there's a song out there by Rehab. I suggest going out and download it. It is not safe for work. I would put it on one of our things, but it's outside our timeline.
Yeah.
But go look up Rehab. He's got a song about his girlfriend and him actually stealing her car and basically destroying it, knowing that he's about ready to go to jail.
We at What the Riff Studios do not encourage you to go steal your girlfriend's car or to shoot at your girlfriend's car.
But shooting and getting drunk, maybe not at the same time.
There is one caveat. Well,
throwing hands, that's a different story.
Throwing hands, obviously, in your front lawn. In 1984, it's a damn must.
That was way before this, though.
That was way before this. You weren't thinking of this song while you were throwing hands, were you? That would have been the slowest fight on the planet.
Okay, guys. At this point, I will make it onto double secret probation.
Yes, yeah. Well.
The riff.
Maybe if we had a song that would, like, maybe cleanse our palate.
Well, this one isn't going to quite cleanse the palate, but this is a what they call prog metal.
Yeah.
Prog metal.
We talked about that.
I think this has an amazing sound. It's very well produced. For some reason, never really got into this band at the time. I guess I just wasn't familiar.
They're solid, though, aren't they?
And this is Queensryche. And the song is Anybody Listening? ?
What? What was that? Oh, that's an interesting chord change, isn't it?
Isn't it? I really like that about Queensryche. I think they did that really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it still has that science. Silent Lucidity was their big song.
So this song, Anybody Listening, was from the album Empire. And the single was released in February of 1992.
Okay.
Bruce covered the album Empire on What the Riff episode number 67.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
And Silent Lucidity was one of the songs that you picked up on there. And there was also another single from there called Jet City. Mm-hmm. Woman.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, yeah. So good.
So you would probably recognize those. Listen to that chord change.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I'm digging it.
Complicated. Definitely prog.
It's not 1-4-5 chords.
No,
it's not. It's not. And it's really a song about questioning the meaning of life, whether anyone's really listening to you or understanding you. The singer here is Jeff Tate, lead vocals, and he played keyboards also. I think he's got quite a range.
He's phenomenal. He can do this thing where he can hit these really strong high notes and then immediately shift low.
He just did it.
Yeah, he just drags it straight down. It's so good. Especially in Empire, the song Empire from the same album, that is an amazing song. But obviously, Silent Lucidity is like the killer song from that album.
It's a whole new song.
Chris DeGarmo was his songwriting partner, and he's playing guitars. Then they've got Michael Wilton on guitars, Eddie Jackson on bass and backing vocals, and Scott Rockenfield rocking the percussion.
Oh, it's hitting you in the chest, that's for sure, those drums.
You mean tell you who's like a modern-day version of Jeff Tate? Miles Kennedy, who sings for Alter Bridge. If you've never listened to them and you like the sound of this voice,
mm-hmm.
Miles Kennedy has got an amazing, amazing vocal range.
Yeah, they're mentioned with Dream Theater and Fate's Warning. So if you like this, you might want to look into those projects as well. Operation Mindcrime came out in 1988 and really kind of put them on the map.
That's their big breakthrough album. Yeah.
All right, top hits of February 1992. Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy. Now that was a big hit. George Michael and Elton John had I Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. We talked about
great.
That.
Yeah, that
Prince
was great.
Prince had Diamond and Pearls. Color Me Bad had All for Love. And Nirvana was kicking off grunge with Smells Like Teen Spirit. So that was
that came out.
Yeah.
And Weird Al Yankovic was kicking off with Smells Like Nirvana.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen there.
Isn't that pretty?
I mean, you go from like crazy rock I had to turn
it's
it down.
It's majestic, isn't it?
I had to like take the volume down a little bit so we could hear what we were saying, but then it goes to this ballad.
This is a tiny bit of Ozzy, tiny bit of Bonnie Raitt.
very,
it comes full circle.
And a little bit of Eddie Vedder.
A little bit, yeah. He actually looks a lot like Eddie Vedder. Like back then, Jeff Tate did.
It's got kind of a little bit of a haunting feel to it with the minor chords.
Reminds me of Trans-Siberian Orchestra a little bit. I don't know if you've seen them on the Christmas concerts.
Yeah.
But they kind of have their own songs mixed within traditional Christmas songs that are more hard rockish, whatever. I call them a Kiss on Christmas music, you know. But yeah, this to me sounds like one of those intermediate songs you have. You don't really know what they're doing, but yeah, it kind of reminds me. Of course, they came from Sabotage.
Yeah.
So it's understandable.
A guitar scale climbing.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm going to fade on over to our instrumental.
Music of February 1992, IRS and Willie Nelson settled for a $9 million tax bill.
And wow.
I think he's still paying on it.
Wait, did we say what this song was?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Yes. More prog, but less metal.
It's called Masquerade.
That's right. And it was off their Union album. They had. I went to this concert.
Yeah,
I
did too.
It was great.
I think we covered another song off of this album too, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Aim High, Shoot Low, or something like that. Or
real quick, this is the shortest track on the entire podcast.
And when Yes is the shortest track on your podcast, you know you have to be in the early 90s because all these songs were long.
Yeah, they were prog and usually about 20 minutes long. Nirvana's Kurt Cobain marries Hole's Courtney Love. And I remember when that happened and everything. We talked about that. We covered both those albums.
And they lived happily ever after.
Oh, yeah, after, well, two more years at least. All right. Albums that came out. Alice in Chains had Sap. The Mighty Mighty Boss Tones had More Noise and Other Disturbances. Cowboy Junkies had Black Eye Man, and that's actually a real good album. Fish, if you're into that, jam rock. Pictures of Nectar. Pantera had Vulgar Display of Power. And UFO had High Stakes and Dangerous Men. And
UFO.
Yes. And the box set came out for Yoko Ono called Ono Box, and I'm sure everybody ran to the stores to go get it.
You can get it now for $2.
What was it called?
Yono Box. All right. Well, you've been in February 1992, and you've been listening to What the Riff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
I'm John.
And I'm Bruce.
See you guys next time. Enjoy it.
Thanks for listening to What the Riff. We hope you enjoyed the songs we had on tap today. Please tell your friends about us, follow us on Facebook, and visit whattheriff.com to find all our episodes. Special thanks to our sponsors, Georgia Lighting and Lucky & Company. That's all for this week. See you next week on What the Riff.